a pious Brahmana, or a wealthy Vaishya. Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. As a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein is said, Sambhavantu Sarastriyaha. Sarastri, the women of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavana to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Sarastri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Sarastri were to appear in different ways in different families to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either in Dwarka Puri, Mathura Puri, or Vrindavana, they would certainly return home, back to Godhead. Among the Sarastri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for in this connection. Vasudeva Grihe Sakshad Bhagavan Purusha Pura Janishate Tad Priyartam Sambhavantu Sarastriyaha. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. We're given the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has 19,000 verses for this planet. But actually, the Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets has millions of verses. But we have a hard time reading the 19. What to speak if we had a million or 10 million verses? How long would it take to complete the Bhagavatam? In our lifetime, we wouldn't be able to get through the first canto. Probably the first chapter would be all we could get through. But there's a lot more to reality than we can conceive of. But of course, when we're in the conditioned state of life, which most of us are, therefore our reality is rather limited. And therefore, any stretch of reality to us is amazing and inconceivable, incomprehensible. And indeed, it is inconceivable and incomprehensible, because one would have to live in that level of consciousness where one could understand what reality is on that level of consciousness. We're not even on the heavenly level of consciousness. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is revealing the universal form to Arjuna, and he's giving the eyes to see the universal form. Now, for us to see the universal form would be quite an upliftment in our vision, because when we look around, we're seeing snow and cold buildings and whatever. We're not exactly seeing that this is part of Krishna's universal form. But for Arjuna, who is on the spiritual platform of vision, could actually directly see Krishna holding a flute, Krishna had to lower his vision. He had to bring him down to the demigod vision in order for Arjuna to see the universal form. So what's an upliftment for us is actually a degradation for a devotee like Arjuna. In any case, we have to accept, because we have no choice, whatever particular vision we have at the moment, and try to make some progress towards a higher realm of consciousness. Otherwise, Maya will always try to drag us down. Maya has always some reason to tell us some reason why we should be depressed, why we should be discouraged, why everyone else is doing much better than I am, why I'm no good but everyone else is good, why I should be good and everyone else should be bad. So many different things Maya is always telling us to drag our consciousness down, because that's their choice. Either we make a very gradual progress towards higher consciousness, or we make gradual progress towards lower consciousness. Of course, in Kali Yuga, progress in consciousness down is very quick, and progress up can also be quick if we accept the process. In any case, it's a question of consciousness. At the end of life, all our assets, our physical beauty, our wealth, our so-called learning, it means nothing. The only thing that really matters is where our consciousness is. That will determine where we're going to go. And here, at least some of the options are given, but we should not think that these are the only options. There are unlimited options, actually, and possibilities. As we go on in the 10th canto and the commentaries by the acharyas, we'll find out that those who joined Krishna's pastimes in this universe, they came from a variety of places and a variety of levels of consciousness. We shouldn't think it's all one, that Krishna's pastimes are one cookie cutter. You know what a cookie cutter is? Nityaseva, do you know what a cookie cutter is? You don't know a cookie. Do you know a sludger? Do you know? Yeah, you have a form like, you know, a star. And you take the cookie cutter and the dough, you press it into it and make stars, and then you put the stars on. You bake them as cookies. Cookie cutter. So we sometimes think that devotional service is kind of like a cookie cutter. You do this and you get that result. You do this and you get... But actually, there's a whole lot of varieties. As we'll find out, for instance, those who joined Krishna's pastimes in his particular universe where he appeared were many varieties. Some of them were Rishi Chari Gopis, Muni Chari Gopis, demigods, as mentioned here. And not all of them were even pure devotees. Otherwise, if everyone was a pure devotee, there wouldn't be much variety in the pastimes. If everyone was a pure surrendered devotee, then how did Satrajit get in there? Because Satrajit, he was favored by the sun god. But he wasn't an ordinary person either. Satrajit was a worshiper of the sun god, and the sun god gave him one lady. Do you know which lady the sun god gave as a gift? What's that? What was her name before it was Satyabhama? Yeah, that was obviously that was his daughter, but who was Satyabhama? You get a special suite if you get him. Who was Satyabhama in Krishna Leela? Srimati Radharani. Who is Rukmini in Krishna Leela? Before, what's that? Chandravali or Chandravali? Chandravali. And what is the relation between Srimati Radharani and Chandravali? They're cousin sisters. They're close relatives. In any case, and what else did that? So, what jewel was was Satrajit given? Shamantaka. What was the jewel? That jewel in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Take a guess. How many jewels do you know that Krishna has? Yes, so it was the Kaustubha gem. So how did the sun god get the Kaustubha gem? How did he get the Chaimantaka jewel. How did Radharani get the Chaimantaka jewel? She stole it. No. When Krishna killed in the pastimes, who did Krishna kill to get the jewel that was in his head? What was that? No, who had a jewel in his turban who tried to steal the gopis? And he led them to the north. Jambavan, no, Jambavan didn't try to steal the gopis. You heard false voices. What's the name of it? You can look it up. What was the name of the... It was the associate of Kuvera. And he had a jewel in his head, which was a Kastuba jewel. And then he tried to steal the gopis and to lead them to the north, and Krishna ran after him with burning logs and Balaram. And then he killed the demon, he hit him in the head, and he died. And then Krishna took the jewel. And then he was coming back, and he wanted to give the jewel to Srimati Radharani, but if he did that, then all the other gopis would have been jealous. And so what did he do? He gave the jewel to who? He gave it to Balaram. And then who did Balaram give it to? He gave it to Madhu Mangal. And then Madhu Mangal gave it to Srimati Radharani. And that way, no one, Krishna gave the jewel to Srimati Radharani. Did we find out who it is? The associate of Kovera? Then, when Krishna left Vrindavan, then how did Srimati Radharani feel? Finally we got rid of the guy? How did she feel? Is anyone out there? You're all still alive. What's that? Stunned. I noticed, obviously, he must be stunned. How did Srimati Radharani feel when Krishna left Vrindavan? What's that? Devastated. Devastated, yeah, in separation. So that went on for some time, and then what Srimati Radharani with Vishakha, what did she decide to do? She decided to drown herself in the Jamuna. And she went into the Jamuna, and she had the Kaustubha jewel on, and she tried to drown herself, but what happened? The sun god came and took her to the heavenly planets with the Kaustubha jewel. And then Shatrajit was worshipping the sun god, and he gave Srimati Radharani, and he gave the Kaustubha jewel to, and Satyajit's daughter was named what? What's that? Satyabhama. Yeah, so, in the association of Dwarka, Srimati Radharani took on the mood of Satyabhama. And therefore, Krishna was given Radharani, actually in the form of Satyabhama, plus the Kaustubha jewel, which is eternally his, when he got the jewel. But actually, he didn't exactly get the jewel either back, because it was Krura got the jewel. But eventually Krishna will get the jewel back. Anyhow, these are all pastimes. But Satyajit, obviously, what kind of personality must he have been to have been given Srimati Radharani as his daughter? Quite an elevated personality, yes. But then he wouldn't give the jewel to Krishna. So what kind of personality doesn't give the jewel to Krishna, but he gets the supreme person, he gets Srimati Radharani as his daughter, plus the Kastubha jewel. Quite mixed pastime. And what to speak of Satyadanya? Where was Satyadanya? Where did he live? Do you know who Satyadanya was? Does anyone ever read these books? Do you know what books I'm referring to? We should put out just comic books. They have that, these Krishna comic books. Maybe the devotees would start reading. And if you when I went to Japan, the only time I ever went to Japan, and in Japan, on the subway, you see people have these books that are like this thick, but they're comic books. They have huge comic books there. Who is Satyadanya? Satyadanya? Who did he kill? Take a guess.
Satyajit.
Yes! He killed Satyajit. And who is his co-conspirators? Who's two of his co-conspirators?
Akura was involved, no?
Yes, Akura was involved, and who else? Kritavarma, yes, Kritavarma. And who's Kritavarma? Sorry to bring up all these persons. I know we're impersonalists. I don't care about persons. Why is he bringing up names? He's even asking us what he was doing. How personal. We don't get into personal affairs of people. Who is Kritavarma? He was a devotee of Krishna. But he got involved in the... And who was he associating with? Who was Kritavarma associating with? Kamsa. Because when many of Krishna's relatives became followers of Kamsa, Krishna was in exile. In any case, so we have Kritavarma, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, associating with Kamsa, and then winding up in a conspiracy to kill Krishna's father-in-law. So they're all living in Dwarka. And then we find out there are even prostitutes in Dwarka. So they're all going back to the spiritual world. Although they're all devotees. And here we find out that the demigods, demigoddesses, here it says all of them. Does that mean all the demigods? There's 32 million demigods, or 34 million demigods, and half of them are probably ladies. So that means that Krishna in his pastimes, he had the ladies took birth, all 17 million of them took birth on this planet to help Krishna in his pastimes. No, then Prabhupada says in the purport here, some of them, like Upendra's, the mother of Upendra. Who's the mother of Upendra? What? Aditi, yes. Aditi took birth. And who's Aditi's husband? Kashyapa Muni. So then we have the whole thing about actually Aditi didn't exactly, she's the mother, so what was her original form? Who is the mother? Aditi, Kashyapa, then it was Prishnigarbha, Prishni, and Sutapa. And then we have Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. So, Aditi, her the Yasoda, the original Yasoda in Goloka Vrindavan, expands herself in these different forms as the mothers of Krishna. So there's a whole lot of things that are just inconceivable to us, which is probably good. Keep it simple. Else we get confused. How is this possible? How is it that someone can be in Goloka Vrindavan and expand themselves as a demigoddess, and through that expansion come down here and be Mother Yasoda? What is this all about? I mean, we get confused if we're in one place. As a matter of fact, if we had to be in two places at the same time, we'd completely bewildered. So these things will only be revealed to us when we're very, very advanced in Krishna consciousness, how these things are possible. But for ourselves, we can understand that many varieties of persons join in these pastimes. And therefore, what we're hearing, what we're reading about, is rather simplified for ourselves, because otherwise it would be too confusing. And even when we hear about the Munichari gopis and the Rishichari gopis, the demigoddesses and the Nityasiddha gopis, because Srimati Radharani also comes, and so does Lalita and Vishakha, and they all come, and they train up, they're the ones who train up all these different gopis, and some of them, they're only on the stage of bhava. Poor gopi, only on the stage of bhava. So sometimes we can actually be Uttama Adhikari devotees and only be on the stage of bhava, but we still join in Krishna's pastimes. That's the minimum qualification to be on. Because we're not on bhava, maybe there's some exceptions, I don't know. Bhava means that one understands his identity. So if you wind up in Krishna's pastimes and you don't really understand who you are, then how can you act in the pastime? If you think you're a frog in Krishna's lila, but you're actually, you don't know that, you don't know you're supposed to be jumping. Or if you're actually gopi in Krishna's lila, but you wind up here, you know, in some other form, then how can you participate in Krishna's lila? You have to be at least on the stage of bhava to actually participate in the lila. And then we find out that in Dwarka, for instance, there are different varieties of pure devotees there. Some of them, they understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul. Many of the Yadus, they thought that Krishna was a Super Soul. But they didn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his full manifestation of opulence. Therefore, they didn't necessarily return home back to the spiritual world either. But some of them did. Some of them, like Akrura or Agrasena, they understood Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But not all of them. So there's whole varieties of opportunities. We can join Krishna. We can go to a universe as a demigod. But if we're those who go to the universes as demigods, they're not the ordinary devotee who leaves, aspiring devotee, or a transcendentalist, who leaves their body and takes birth on the heavenly planets. If one is a karma yogi and does pious activity, then he may take birth on the heavenly planets. If one is a jnani yogi and a philosopher, he may take birth on the heavenly planets as a rishi. And then when his time finishes, he comes back to the material world as either taking birth in a Brahmin family, if he's a rishi, he was trying to be a rishi, or a family of rich mercantile people, if he was a karma yogi. He was acting either as a Shudra or a Vaishya or a Jnani or a Jignasu. But he did enough pious credits to go to the heavenly planets for some time and then came down. But if one is acting as a devotee, pure devotee, does he go to the heavenly planets in some other universe to join Krishna? If he was doing enough pious activities, he was doing devotional activities more than just taking birth in the higher, elevated, And for instance, Krishna says, Ataiva yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etadi durlabhataram loke janman idrisham. That first he says, Prapyapunya kritam lokam ushisva shasiti samak suchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashta bhujayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many years of enjoyment on the planets of pious people, they take birth again as in a rich mercantile family, or the family of learned persons. So this is the devotee or the ordinary person who's doing some yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga. But those who are doing bhakti yoga sincerely and seriously, then Krishna says, they take birth in the family of devotees. Such a birth is rare in this world. But those who have actually taken birth in devotees and have actually obtained a very high state of consciousness, they may join on a heavenly planet in some other universe and then participate in Krishna's pastimes. But that's actually not very common, even amongst the demigods, to be in such a state of consciousness that when you take birth in the pastimes of Krishna, you're personally involved in the pastime, as Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One may be involved in the pastime as a yadus. For instance, there are so many yadus, millions of them, but they didn't really see that Krishna was God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They saw him as the super soul. And what to speak of being Mathura, and Kamsa was there with his Chandora, Mustika, etc. So they were elevated persons. To get the chance to be killed by Krishna in a wrestling match is quite exalted. To be born as a demon like Putana and get the opportunity to kill Krishna, that's quite exalted. And therefore, such pastimes have to be explained by Acharya. How is this possible? Because she was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. In one pastime, and the other pastime, she was the sister of Bali Maharaj. And when Vamana Dev entered into the arena of sacrifice that Bali Maharaj was performing, then Bali Maharaj, Vamana Dev, on behalf of Upendra and Aditi, who wanted to get back the heavenly kingdom for the demigods, then, as soon as the daughter, or in another pastime, the sister of Bali Maharaj saw Vamanadeva, he fell in love with her. She fell in love with him and wanted to become his mother. But as soon as Vamanadeva took away all the possessions of Bali Maharaj, the same daughter or the same sister became overwhelmed with envy and wanted to kill Vamanadeva. So she had two states of consciousness, one of transcendental love for Vamanadeva, the other she wanted to kill him. So who would she take birth as? What's that? Putana. Who was a previous verse before that? Yes, what was her name? It starts with an S. Supanaka. And then she took birth as Putana. Supanaka had to get a little association with Ram and Lakshman. Ram and Lakshman cut off her nose. Ram, Lakshman cut off her nose and ears, so she got a little mercy. And then she could take birth as Putana and be killed by Krishna as his nurse and go back to the spiritual world as a nurse. After she was purified of her envy, then she got her original feelings of love for Krishna manifest itself completely, and she went back to the spiritual world. So we shouldn't think that everything is just happening, you know, by accident. This washerman who's walking down in Vrindavan with the clothes of Kamsa, Krishna and the coward boys approach him and say, give us the clothes. And this washerman starts lecturing Krishna Balaram how these clothes belong to the king, and you shouldn't try to ask for the clothes of the king, because the king's property is sacred. That if I told the king, he'd chastise you, And what did Krishna do? Did he take good instruction? What's that? How did he kill him? No, he didn't punch him. He took his hand and he cut off his head, used his hand as a sword. I mean, that's kung fu. What's that? Yes, he's the original. Feel the edge of your hand is a bit. What can you cut with it? Can cut your finger. Anyhow, Krishna cut off his hand. And he got liberation. I don't know what kind of liberation he got, but obviously he was he must have done something qualified other than just washing clothes. That's not what he got the mercy from. Otherwise there are so many people washing clothes, but they don't get, and there's so many people get their heads cut off. But still, you know, Krishna's mercy that he cut off this man's head, he got some special credit. So he must have done something special in his previous lifetimes to get such an opportunity. So this whole class is just to open our minds a little bit when we read these pastimes. We shouldn't think, either we should think they're fairy tales or we should get envious. Why is this, you know, washerman, why did he get his head cut off? Why did Putin go back to the spiritual world? What she deserved. I'm also envious of Krishna. Why don't I go back to the spiritual world? No, we have to be qualified, and part of Krishna's pastime sometimes is to purify us so that our original qualification is fully manifested. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.